What a voice. What a song. What a Savior to sing about. Hallelujah to His name. When you think about life, you just get to those wow moments. You just say, wow. Think about where God has brought you to. And where God has brought you from. Wow. In a pandemic. Wow. Could have been, should have been dead, sleeping in my grave. But I'm here today. Wow. Do you have a wow in you? When you think about God, just wow. How awesome, how authoritative God is. My God. Certainly we thank Him for what He has done, and we worship Him for who He is. Certainly to our brother and sister who stood as visitors today, we thank God for your presence. And we pray that something is said and done that will have a profound impact upon your life, that your life never be the same, in Jesus' name. Amen. Good to have you today. Amen. Come on, bless God for His presence again. Amen. And her presence. Amen. Thank God for you today. Amen. We did a little switcheroo. My wife is here this morning at the 10:30. Amen. She normally comes at 8, and Mom was here at 8, and she's here at the 10:30 service. Amen. They said y'all wanted to see her too. Amen. She's here. Amen. She's here. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Thank God for the Environmental Safety Committee. Thank God for the media ministry. Amen. Thank God for all of you. Amen. It's good for us to be here. Thank you, Sister Van. Thank you so much. Amen. Thank you so much. Amen. Amen. She didn't know she would sing. She was trying to hide. But God a reveal. Amen. Thank you so much for your heart. Thank you for your willingness. Thank you for being a part of this service. Thou therefore, man of God, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruit. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of the Lord is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that I may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Look at somebody, if you will, and say, stand for Jesus. Amen. Look at another and say, stand for Jesus. Amen. Bless the Lord on your way to your seat. Stand for Jesus. My brothers and sisters, it is no hidden truth, no undisclosed reality, that we are in a warfare. Paul, he puts it in perspective for us that there is a difference in the way sinners suffer and saints suffer. That if I'm going to suffer, I would rather suffer as a saint than as a sinner. Because when a sinner suffers, he suffers alone. But when a saint suffers, a saint suffers with the Lord being with him. And if God is with you, he's more than the whole world against you. So being that we have to suffer, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl must suffer. Job said, a man born. He didn't say whether he was saved or not. He simply said, a man born of a woman is of a few sun rising and sunsets, is of a few days. And his days are full of trouble. So as a Christian, I would rather suffer with God than to suffer without God. Christianity is a call to witness, worship, work, and warfare. We have been called to abandon trepidation, fear, and fright. God has armed us with faith to fight. He has armed us with faith to stand for Jesus. Standing for Jesus is not easy. Matter of fact, Paul describes standing for Jesus as Christian warfare. In other words, when you stand for Jesus, you are fighting spiritual enemies. You are engaged in spiritual warfare. Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 says we are wrestling. He says, but we are wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, spiritual rulers of the darkness, and against wicked spirits in high places. We're wrestling against enemies. That's why, you know, when you set your heart to do right, Satan sick all of his imps on you. And everywhere you turn, problems and trouble. And he doesn't wait until you get over one thing before he sends something else. right in the midst of your troubles, that he'll send you something else that's weighty. And that wars against you. Come here, Job. Come, Job. Come. Before one messenger could leave, here came another messenger. It wasn't just his livestock. But it was his children. And then not only was it his children, but while he was contending with all of that, Job's wife said, see, Satan don't just deal with people far from you. He will get into the minds of people who are close to you. Miss Job had been first lady of Ur Baptist Church all of her days, and she had reaped the benefits of God's goodness, and as soon as Job started suffering, she opened her mouth and said, Job, the benefits are over now. Why don't you curse God and die? I'm trying to tell you, before you can finish dealing with one thing, here comes something else. Satan has increased his attack, and his attacks are incessant. In other words, they just keep coming. They keep coming. They keep coming. And we are to wrestle and fight against the things that Satan are hurling our way. And so he says that we are to stand up for Jesus. It's not easy. We are fighting in a war. Satan has an army. And God has an army. And they are opposed to each other on the battlefield. Life is not a picnic. It's not a pleasant walk in the park. It's a fight. It's a battle. Paul wrote his son in the ministry, Timothy, because Timothy was in a hard place. Paul himself suffering in a hard place, because at the time of penning the passage, he was chained to a Roman guard in a Roman prison. And he wrote his son in the ministry, Timothy, because he was concerned about Timothy's personality. Timothy had a rather timid and nervous personality. He was low in courage. And here it is, Paul, concerned about Timothy, thought it fitting to write Timothy to encourage him right in the midst of his struggles. What I like about Paul is the fact that Paul did not wait until his struggles were over. But right in the midst of his own hardships, he wrote Timothy to say to Timothy, you can make it, man. See, that's a message for some of us in here this morning. Because you are in trouble. And listen, you don't have to wait until God brings you out of your trouble to be an encourager. No, you can encourage somebody right in the midst of your trouble, because one thing you have in your arsenal is a memory. You can think about what God has done for you already, and you know without a shadow of a doubt that if God did it then, God will do it again. You don't have to wait until your troubles are over. You can put pen and paper together and write somebody to tell them to hold on and hold out, because God is going to show up and show out in your life. Is there anybody in this room this morning who can be a witness to know without a shadow of a doubt that God may not come when you want him, but he's coming and he shows up on time? Going through himself, he was able to write Timothy. Timothy, this dungeon is cold. This is a hard place. But I put myself on hold to minister to you. That's the problem with a lot of people now who sit on the padded pew. They don't know how to put self on hold to minister to somebody else. It's not all about your troubles. It's not all about your pain. It's not all about your difficulties. Sometimes people are in worse shape than you. And you got to put yourself on hold to minister to somebody else. That's what God would have you to do. That's what God would have me to do right in the midst of our own troubles. Encourage somebody else. Timothy, you're going to make it. Because you got God on your side. Let my life be a witness to you. Timothy, you're going to make it. Because God sees you. And he knows exactly where you are. And he's going to bless you. Timothy, you're going to make it. Right in the midst of your troubles. Because Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, has died. But that's not the end of the story. He was raised the third day. There's victory and music there. What he was saying to Timothy, man, because Jesus got up, you're not a loser, you're a winner. That's victory. That's a victory song. That he died, but he got up. And you're going to win because you fight from victory, not for victory. You're standing for Jesus, Timothy. There's several things I need to share with you. First of all, standing for Jesus requires a commitment to sound teaching. Verse 2, Paul says, the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. The word was committed to Timothy. And Timothy was to commit it to others. Now, the word commit means to place alongside. It means to present truth. It means to deposit truth. Timothy was taught to teach. He received the word of God. The word of God was deposited in him. Understand, brothers and sisters, God has not given you his word for you to keep it to yourself. Every sermon you hear preached, every Sunday school lesson you hear taught, every labor lesson you hear taught, every sisterhood lesson you hear taught, everything you hear taught in the house of God, in the word of God, you are to receive it, but not just keep it. You got to give it away. You got to find somebody to bless with the word of God. When you you leave here today, you ought to listen to the word of God intensely, and you ought to hear the word of God so you can carry the word of God to somebody else. Don't let it stop with you. There's a difference in the Jordan River and Dead Sea. The Jordan River flows. The Dead River receives but gives nothing out. So you are to be like the Jordan River. When you receive the word, let it flow through you. But if you just get it and keep it, you are like the Dead Sea. Nobody can live with you or around you. And I think that's one of the problems that we have, that we don't share it with others, the word with others. We get it, we receive it. But when we leave, we are so hush-hush about it.
That's right.
We're more like Dead Seas than Jordan River. Listen, our children need the word. Let it flow. Spouses need the word. Let it flow. Grandchildren need the word. Let it flow. Co-workers need the word. Let it flow. People need the word of God. You got to let it flow. And so Timothy, he received the word. And Paul says, you've been taught to teach. Pour into others what has been poured into you. There was a widow that only had one jar or one pitcher, clay pot. She was in trouble with the creditors. And the creditor came to reckon. She went to the prophet Elijah. And she wanted to know what was she to do. He says, well, what do you have? I only have one pot. He says, well, go borrow. Go borrow some vessels. She went and borrowed some empty pots. And there God turned the faucet on in the one pot she had. She started pouring in the other pots. See, that's what you ought to be doing. You ought to be pouring in pots around you. You ought to go find you some pots to pour into. And as she poured, the Bible says all of the pots were filled. And she was able to pay her creditor. And she had all to spare. Listen, when God can get it through you, He will get it to you. I just said something, y'all just missed it. God wants to get you the word, but listen, for God to get you the word, He wants to be able to get it through you. So God will get it to you when He's able to get it through you. You got to go and find somebody to pour into. One writer says Timothy didn't need to find smart men. He didn't need to find popular men. He didn't need to find perfect men or good looking men. He just needed to find faithful. Let me say that again. Y'all missed it. He didn't need to find smart men. Because God doesn't need your smarts. God is omniscient. He's all knowing. He didn't need to find popular men. Because popular men may be swelled in pride. He didn't need to find good looking men and perfect men. Because perfect men would be Pharisaic. Too busy comparing themselves with other folk. You know, because you're not guilty of everything, you think, you know, you're perfect. But you're guilty of something. Y'all, I knew I wasn't going to get an amen there. All of us guilty of something. Let me hear an amen. All of us got some kind of issue. He didn't need to find perfect men. He just needed to find men faithful. To teach. So that they will teach others. So if you're going to stand up for Jesus, it requires a commitment to sound teaching. But secondly, if you're going to stand for Jesus, it demands endurance in suffering. Verse 3, he says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul encouraged Timothy to boldly face suffering as a good soldier. Christian teaching and preaching prepares you for service and suffering. In September 2017, Dr. Brand and I went to Uganda, Africa for evangelistic missions. And when we got off the plane, we knew we were in a hard place. Men in the airport strapped with AK-47s. I said, oh God, we're not on American soil. We drove to Kampala, Uganda, for a few hours of sleep, and then we had to drive to Adjumani. And there we began to preach the word of God. Had to travel at night because of the Muslim influence and opposition in a strange land. Knew nobody but God and Dr. Brand. And we were preaching. And as we were preaching, people were getting saved. We were preaching. And we were teaching. And people were getting saved. And they would leave happy. And they would come back the next day. And we noticed they would come back happy, but they had physical scars. Hit upside the head with sticks. Because the family they went back to didn't believe in Jesus. Humps of skin bit out of the arms. Little children. Because the families they went back to say that I have confessed hope in Jesus Christ didn't believe in Jesus. Some of them gunned down by family members and put out of the house. Because they believed in Jesus, but their families didn't believe in Jesus. They were beaten. And all of that. And the next day they came, they still came celebrating the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. They walked for miles and miles to hear preaching. Oh, it was hard times. And my eyes came open. I said, God, this is what it means to endure hardness. When you receive Christ, your whole family turn on you. Oh, and you still stay with Christ. That's what it means to endure hardness. When you give your life to Christ, instead of people celebrating and dancing with you and congratulating you, they are attacking you. And you still believe in Christ. Paul said, son, you got to endure hardness as a soldier. And a good soldier doesn't retreat in battle. A good soldier looks forward in battle. He does not back up and retreat. And in the midst of hardship, he's a fighter. He keeps pushing forward. You're a good soldier of Christ. You are enrolled in the army by Christ. You are trained by Christ. You are armed by Christ. You are supported by Christ to fight and equipped by Christ to endure suffering. Christ is with you, Timothy. And when Christ is with you, he's more than the whole world against you. When Christ is with you, you're more than conquerors.
That's right.
When Christ is with you, no weapon formed against you is able to prosper. When Christ is with you, you can't lose. Timothy, you're in a war, man. And it involves the good fight of faith.
That's right.
Because it is an increasing struggle against the forces of evil. You have noticed that this is the last hour. This is the last days. And Satan has increased and intensified his attack. Oh, brothers, this last days, he knows that his hours are limited. His days are few. So he's going about seeking whom he can devour. And if you're with Christ, he wants you to curse God. And that Satan is busy. Paul said it's a fight, but man, you got to be dedicated. You got to be devoted and committed to the war. You got to be disciplined. Man, you got to be like an athlete who shuns some things. He says, as a soldier, you can't involve yourself in civilian affairs. You got to turn the club loose. You got to turn loose some of the hot jumping spots. You got to turn loose some of the thin bottles and some of the twisted cigarettes. If you're going to fight as a good soldier, you're going to have to separate yourself from some civilian affairs. You can't do what people in the world are doing and thinking you are going to please God. You got to turn some stuff on loose. I wish y'all would help me preach this morning. You got to turn some stuff on loose. You got to let some stuff go. So what if they don't invite you to the party? So what if you don't get an invitation to the drinking party? So what? You're a soldier in the army of the Lord. Paul says you got to be determined, strong minded. He told the church at Corinth, therefore, my beloved brethren, be strong, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that you're laboring is not in vain. Paul said, if you're going to stand, it demands discipline and endurance in suffering. If you're going to stand, it requires a commitment to sound teaching. But then lastly, if you're going to stand, it requires faith in Almighty God. Verse 9, Paul says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But The word of God is not bound. Let me rewind that and say that again. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evil doer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Paul says, I'm suffering like I've done some wrong. I'm suffering as if I belong to the world. I'm suffering as if God is against me. He says, I'm suffering as an evil doer. He said, but there's good news. As a servant of God, I may be bound. But the word of God is not bound. In other words, you may lock me up, but you can't lock God up. Let me say that again. You may lock me up, but you can't lock God up. For God's word is not bound. You may have me in chains, but you can't put God's word in chains. You may have me in a pit, but you cannot submit God's word to a pit. He says, I'm in trouble, but God's word is never in trouble. He says, though I suffer as an evil doer, God's word is not bound. That's good news, because Timothy, the word is able to reach you. In the midst of your trouble, the word is able to reach you. And the word will pick you up and turn your life around and plant your feet on solid ground. The word is able to reach you. I got happy when I read verse 10. Because now I know the purpose of my troubles. My troubles are many because others are watching me like they are watching a television. And as they look at me suffering in the midst of my troubles, they are trying to figure out how I'm making it and how things are still working out for me. They know I lost my job. They know he just or she just walked out on me. They know my children are acting up. But it's all right, because God is with me. And if God be for me, he's more than the whole world against me. They are watching me and trying to figure out, how is it that I'm holding on? But I'm holding on to God's unchanging hand. And my troubles give me an opportunity to be a witness for Jesus to others. Y'all just missed it. I said my troubles give me an opportunity to be a witness of Jesus to others. And as they see me going through, I'm able to tell them that if Jesus did it for me, and if he's doing it for me now, he's able to do it for you. When you leave this morning, you ought to leave as a witness that Jesus is able to keep you in the midst of your struggles. Jesus is able to keep you in the midst of your troubles. You just got to hold on. to God's unchanging hand. And if you hold on to His unchanging hand, He'll pick you up, turn your life around, and plant your feet on solid ground. Well, what are you going to tell them? I'm going to tell them that I'm not fighting for victory, but I'm fighting from victory. Y'all know when He won the victory, don't you? He won the victory that Friday evening when He dropped His head in the locks of His shoulders and died on Calvary's cross. Is there anybody in the room? No, He died. He died. He died. He died. Until the moon dripped away in blood, He died. Until the S-U-N refused to shine, He died. Until the veil of the temple was rent and a centurion said He must be the Son of God, He died. But that's not the end of the story. Somebody know that early Sunday morning, He got up out of the grave with all power, heaven and earth in His hands. And let me ask you my question one time this morning. Ain't He all right? Why don't you stand on your feet and reel your head back and say, yeah! 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 Yeah. I'm standing for Jesus. It requires a commitment to sound teaching. It demands a commitment to spiritual discipline. You have to be disciplined, determined. Then it requires faith in Jesus Christ. It's a fight. It's a struggle. It's a battle. Yes, Satan is against us. But thanks be to God that we have somebody on our side who's more powerful than Satan. Is this a struggle? I've been given these series of sermons to encourage our hearts, because this is a hard season. This is a trying season. We hear in all of what's said by scientists of when this is going away. We don't know when it's going away. But the good news is we are kept right in the midst of it. If it goes or stay, God is a keeper. We're kept in the midst of it. We're in a struggle. Life is a struggle as a Christian, and we are not exempt from the troubles. We get sick. Our bills are high too. Our children act up and get in trouble, just like everybody else. But the good news is this: Jesus is with us. You can't lose with Him on your side. He's with us. Listen, take this word and encourage somebody's heart today. Somebody who stays with you. Then get a chance to make it. And they're depending on you to come back to them and share the word with them. Encourage somebody as you go from this place you may come into contact with in a grocery store or in a restaurant. You ought to have a big smile on your face, because you can't lose. And they will have the audacity to ask you why you're smiling so. And that's the open door for you to tell them. That my faith is in Jesus. My faith is in the Lord. And I'm going to endure as a good soldier. Listen, the doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here today and you're not saved, come give the Lord your life. If you can believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, the Bible says thou shalt be saved. Secondly, if you're here in need of a church home and the Lord has laid this church on your heart, come on. Come on, come on, come on. We'll be your family. We'll be in the struggle with you. We'll pray with you. We'll love you. We'll teach you. Thirdly, if you're here, you need to be restored. Come. The Lord is a restorer. He's married to the backslider. Come on. Come on. While the blood is running warm in your veins. Come on. Salvation. Membership. Restoration. Come on. Give myself away. So you. Come on. Listen, if you're watching online and you want to be a member of this church, you can be an e-member. We just ask that you write us and let us know what it is that you would have us to do for you. If it's prayer, if it's membership, write us and state that in your letter, and we will be quick to get back with you and share with you the word of God. We thank God for today. We pray God's blessings over all of you. You can give on your way out. We'll pray for you right before you leave. Father, we thank you for what our eyes have seen, ears have heard, hearts have received. We thank you for every soul that's in this place. We pray that you grow us. Even in this season of pandemic, and endemic, grow us, increase us, Lord, that we will have an impact upon the world. Bless every soul here, bless every soul hearing by way of the media ministry. Bless every giver. We ask that you open the window of heaven, pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive. Thank you for every cancer survivor. Thank you, Lord. We celebrate with them. We pray with them and for them. In Jesus' name. May your grace, your peace, your love, and your Holy Spirit rest you and abide with us now, henceforth, and forever. Every heart say amen. Amen.
Here I am.
There is what
got you. Here I stand.
There is what got you.
Lord, my life is in your hands.